Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ready for some football, Keith?
I am ready for some football. The week comes at you fast when you play on Thursday night.
I gotta tell you, this is nice.
That is nice.
We're already back into a Patriots game?
Patriots game tonight against the Jets. Ooh, one of the big rivals. They're the biggest rival they have.
Big rival.
Who do they hate the most? The Jets, probably. Maybe not. Probably, though.
Yeah, without Bill, do they still hate the Jets the most?
Yeah, I think it's a New York thing.
It's a New York-Boston thing.
And they're probably
cats and dogs. They never get along. Yeah.
And you can't – there's not going to be many playoff adversaries going forward or big playoff moments. So it's going to be the Jets. Twice a year with the Jets, I'd probably say them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. It's a big one tonight. It's a massive swing game.
Not to
state the obvious, but 2-1 versus 1-2 feels very different. 2-1, where you were in a game in overtime against Seattle, you really justify the start of the Gerard Mayo era versus 1-2, where Cincinnati stinks to start every single season. You've now lost two in a row. You have a long layoff going into the Niners. It'll feel a lot different. So we'll get into that today on Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Phone number 617-779-7937. Phone lines open for you with all your thoughts on the game tonight. How do the Patriots win this game? We can get into it. You can also text the show at 37937 on Twitter, at Jones and Keefe. Same for Instagram. You can watch on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI or on YouTube. Subscribe to WEEI. So a lot of ways you can interact with the show as we take you up until 2 o'clock. When it comes to the Patriots tonight, Keefe, we can get into our predictions. We can get into how the Patriots win. Are you feeling good about the Patriots tonight?
Not really. I like the Jets more than you do. I think the Jets have gotten off to a slow start, but they're 1-1. But I think they're going to get a lot better. Like, I am still holding out on Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think he is going to have a good year. And I know, you know, he hasn't for a while, right? No. He was hurt last year. The year prior to that was not a great year. Not a great year Aaron Rodgers-wise. I think compared to other quarterbacks, it was fine. His last year in Green Bay. I mean, 2021, he was the league MVP. So 2021, he was unreal. 2022, step backwards, but still a better-than-average quarterback. 2023, hurt in the first game. So what is he going to be this year? And so far, not great, right? He's been held under 200 yards passing the first couple of games. But I also look at, like, this guy hasn't played with these players on offense. Well, the good ones, right? He's brought a few Packers with him, right?
Yeah, but like Alan Lazard.
Yeah. But like Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson most specifically, because that first drive they had week one, he was chucking it to Garrett Wilson a ton. And you're like, well, this looks pretty good. This kind of looks like, you know, I thought they were going to win the division when the year began. And then that was it. Like, that was like, that stopped, and they couldn't do anything else. That was against San Francisco week one.
It was so good. It was such a good drive.
And you're like, whoa, like, these guys are buzzing.
They are clicking.
That was it. Yeah. They did not do that anymore. And then last week was kind of an ugly game, but they found a way to win. Or you could say Tennessee just found a way to lose. Regardless, they're 1-1. So I think it might take a couple more games, but I think the Jets are going to figure it out. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to figure it out. I don't know if I love the number for the Jets. Like, I wouldn't. Okay. I don't think they cover by six.
That's
like,
what I was just going to ask.
I might thread the needle. I might take the Pats to cover, Jets to win.
Okay. That's a weaselly move over there, but
it
okay.
is. But no, but 6 points is enough. It's not like three, and I'm like, oh, they're going to win by one.
Yeah.
Like, 6 points is enough. Like, I could see this being a three-point game in favor of the Jets.
I was literally just going to ask, so you already answered it, but six feels high.
It does.
That feels high for a Jets team that barely beat Tennessee and got rocked by the Niners. And I know the Niners are, we all felt coming into the year, a Super Bowl contender and a team that was in the Super Bowl last year, and overtime of taking down Patrick Mahomes. Like, I get all that. It was Jordan Mason off the scrap heap running all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like six is way too high. I think it will be a competitive game tonight. I like the Pats. I like the Patriots
like
in the game
tonight. You like the Pats
tonight.
Outright. I do. Moneyline Jones.
I told you I thought they were going to start 3-0, so I'm already wrong about that. That's already out the window.
Yeah, 2-1 ain't bad, though.
But I don't feel any differently about the Patriots and the Jets after last week. It's not like the Pats got smoked by Seattle, and I'm like, whoa.
But you know what they did? So they didn't get smoked on the scoreboard?
The Jets didn't run away from Tennessee. Like, both of those games kind of went how I thought, so I don't feel all that dissimilar than I felt going into last week.
So I was a little surprised, and I know they made some adjustments, and they were better in the second half, but you can also kind of question that. The defense, to me, was more kind of eye-opening than anything on the offense, meaning Geno Smith looked great. Geno Smith threw for more yards than any other quarterback in week two.
Mm-hmm.
They had two wide receivers go for 10 or more catches over 100 yards. They picked up so many first downs. Now, by the end of the game, Patriots didn't allow a touchdown in the second half or overtime. However, two must-have stop drives, they allowed field goals.
Yep.
So the defense, to me, took a little bit of a step back compared to what we were talking about them in week one.
I think that's fair.
So I think if Aaron Rodgers is going to snap out of this funk, and he is in a bit of a funk, if he's going to snap out of it, I thought the pass defense for the Patriots was a little bit tougher. And then after watching the Seattle game, I said, maybe Aaron Rodgers can find some openings there. Right? Like, if Geno Smith, like, I still think Geno Smith may be underrated, but I still think Aaron Rodgers is better than Geno Smith. Even this version of Aaron Rodgers is better than Geno Smith. You're making a face, but you also had Geno Smith like the 20th quarterback. You think Rodgers is 20-plus?
Right about there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that's our big disconnect as the Jets, right? Because we both think Wilson's great and Gardner's great and Breece Hall. So it's all about Rodgers. And maybe he goes out and lays another egg, and then that's a point for you. Or he kind of turns things around a little bit and looks more like the guy of old.
Yeah, the word you keep hearing with Aaron Rodgers is rusty. He looks rusty. It's a nice way of putting it, because his last year in Green Bay, he was bad. By his standards, the team was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
They were much better without him a year ago. He was hurt, and he hasn't started the year great. So maybe I'm overreacting to just a couple of pedestrian games at Aaron Rodgers. And I was bullish on him and the Jets last year.
Yeah.
I didn't really buy all that much into his poor year in Green Bay. I'm like, well, give him Garrett Wilson.
So his bad year in Green Bay was 26 touchdowns, 12 picks.
It was like a 91 quarterback rating, right? Yeah.
And like, for him, that's insanely
bad.
But I'm saying, like, that's above average.
But my point is,
play.
He was already dropping off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then he had a year away from football, and now he's had two games, and he hasn't looked great. Let me give you another reason be down on Aaron Rodgers and high on the Patriots tonight. We'll take all your predictions. Who wins?
Yeah, you'd have to be pretty high.
How does it play out? You know, what does it take, or what would it take for the Patriots to win the game outright tonight? 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. Aaron Rodgers is the 15th quarterback since the merger to start a game over the age of 40. He's now 1-1 with the two games. Brady was 68-30.
Okay, so Brady did well.
Brady did pretty well after
Brady
he turned 40.
Really good,
yeah,
actually.
Okay, fine.
Now that we think about
it. I'll give that to you.
Let's talk this out a little bit more about Tom Brady.
Brady after 40, really good.
Okay.
Sneaky good, Drew Brees, 17-6. Now, I remember Drew Brees late in his career. I'm like, he sucks.
Yeah.
But 17-6.
Not bad. All right.
Brett Favre was over 500. He was 13-12.
13-12 for Favre, including some. Was he 40 with the Jets? Or is it all Vikings?
Ooh, good question.
Probably right around there, but okay.
Yeah, it might have been mostly Minnesota.
Yep.
Warren Moon, 11-14. Vinny Testaverde, 8-17. Matt Hasselbeck, 5-3. Nice.
Vinny Testaverde's dragging the stat down.
Sonny Jurgensen 3-1.
Sonny Jurgensen 3-1?
Doug Flutie 3-3. Earl Morrell. Mel Kiper might have dropped his name today on Get Up. He was 2-0. Len Dawson 1-4. Johnny U 1-3. Vince Evans 1-2. Brad Johnson 1-2. Steve DeBerg 0-1. Basically, it's Brady as the giant outlier.
Yep.
And Rodgers is closer to Brady than a lot of these quarterbacks.
For sure.
Brees, Favre, he's probably in that grouping. But a lot of quarterbacks not named Tom Brady, they don't do anything after age 40.
But he's way better than Brees, I would say. Like, he is a – I think there's plenty of questions about Rodgers come playoff time.
Is he way better than Favre?
Favre had some – like, Favre – we think of Favre now at the end of his career and just all the picks that he was throwing. I think he was – I think way better is too strong. I think he's better. If I was ranking quarterbacks all time, I would say he's better. Rodgers has, to me, way more issues come playoff time. Not a guy I would count on in the playoffs, but for the most part – in the regular season, he has been pretty remarkable. So I think he's way closer to Brady in that sense than any of those other guys on the list, like a Vinny Testaverde or like a Doug Flutie or a Sonny Jurgensen. His career record is, 149-76-1. I mean, like, he's just roll out of bed winning record. Right.
Well, yeah, but not his last year in Green Bay, and not so far with the Jets.
Yeah, they were 8-9, right? So his last year in Green Bay, and last year, who knows? Like, who knows what it would have been? And so far, no. Like, I can't argue that he's off to a slow start and he doesn't look great. But a 41-year-old guy coming off an Achilles injury with new teammates, I didn't expect him to look great the first 2 weeks. But I still like. I'm not going to all of a sudden like over. State how good the Patriots are just because they've looked pretty.
I might do that.
Well, no, you know what it is? I think there's just such an incredibly low bar. They beat Cincinnati. They play a tough game with Seattle, and we're like, wait a minute, this team doesn't suck. Read the roster again. Like, go through the receivers on this team. Go through the offensive line again. It's not very good. The other thing that jumps out to me is the Patriots haven't turned the ball over yet.
Yet.
Does that continue? Can they go through a whole season with no turnovers? And Ramondre Stevenson has put the ball on the ground. They've just recovered it. And Jacoby Brissett, I'm curious tonight, all this chirping about receivers and Pop Douglas, they cut a receiver from the practice squad. Do they say, all right, yeah, we can open it up a little bit more? And if you allow Brissett to make a few more throws down the field, you're also kind of risking it.
Well, it's one of the conundrums for the Patriots of the game tonight. You have receivers who want the ball, but you don't beat the Jets by throwing on them. You beat the Jets by running on them. So how do they balance that out? We'll get to it. How do the Patriots win the game tonight, Keith? If they're going to win, I know you don't think they're going
to. Yeah.
If they're
going
to win, how do they do it?
I think it's a big Ramondre game, and I also think it's I would love to see Christian Gonzalez pretty much on Garrett Wilson. You know, the DK Metcalf stats are kind of, I guess it depends on who you believe, but overall in the game, DK Metcalf through the roof. Like, great fantasy game, all that stuff. Just specifically when only Gonzalez was on him, I know there was that miscommunication that led to the big touchdown, but give this guy an opportunity to just cancel out a receiver. Make the other receivers beat them if you're the Jets. So I would put Gonzalez on Wilson and run him around the entire field. And then, you know, because he's still healthy, give Ramondre the ball 25 times. That's probably what I would do.
Okay, I think you have the game plan right. I think you run on the Jets. Yeah. I think that's what you do. And if the receivers are squawking about it, then they have to squawk about it for another week, and it's a long week going into San Francisco a week from now. But I think you have the game plan right. And we're already getting tweets at Jones WEI at Keith21, our guy Ray.
What do you got, Ray?
I can't tell if Ray's a fan or not. Guys, Bentley is out. Who's going to stop the run? Raekwon McMillan?
I think that's a... I don't know if he's a fan of us, but I think it's a good point. Like, no, Bentley? Like, Bentley's... He's won me over the last couple of years.
Are you afraid of Breece Hall tonight?
I think Breece Hall could have a good game.
I'm not afraid of Breece Hall tonight.
You know.
I think maybe in the passing game, like maybe throwing
Jones
it to him.
Jones also said that about DK, and DK had 10 catches.
This is a good point.
So I think
this is a good point. Fair point.
I think the
was
Patriots,
one broken play really
yeah,
is all it was.
Yeah, that
throw that one out.
I
toss that one.
No, but I think they could have been rocked into a little bit of a false sense of run defense because Cincinnati has bad backs and Kenneth Walker was out for Seattle. So this is a much different type of guy they're facing. And I think the Bentley one is worth mentioning.
Breece Hall also didn't run on the Niners. Okay, fine. That's a good defense. Also didn't run on Tennessee. And so, I don't know.
Breece Hall, good Titans team.
Breece Hall on the ground does not scare me. Through the air, if Rodgers is going to dump it down to him, maybe. I'm more afraid of Breece Hall in the passing game than I am Garrett Wilson tonight because of what you said about Christian Gonzalez. And the slow start for Garrett Wilson and him and Rodgers not really being on the same page. Rodgers doesn't scare me. The Jets don't scare me. I think the Patriots win tonight. So how do you see it playing out? Your thoughts, your predictions on Thursday Night Football. The Pats are back. Short week, 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your thoughts and predictions on the game. How do the Patriots win? And how do they balance the squawking receivers complaining about not getting the ball, Pop Douglas among them, when the game plan is to run on the Jets. How are they going to square those two away? We'll get to it.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The hope is you have a guy in Drake May who's warming and getting ready, and he'll eventually be that type of guy that can elevate that unit. I still wouldn't rush it, but like, the Patriots were 8 of 17 for 48 yards against man coverage. Man coverage is about talent. They were 6 of 8 for 72 yards against zone. I'm guessing that was probably mostly Hunter Henry early on in the game. Beating man coverage is about talent among the receivers and tight ends and what have you. It's not really about scheme. It's right. Just man beating man. Zone is more about scheme beating the coverage. And, you know, what we see so far is the Patriots aren't good enough on the outside to beat man coverage, and that's going to continue to be an issue.
That was Greg Bedard with a cameo by our guy Nick Cattles.
Yeah, I thought I heard him in there.
Breaking down the Patriots wide receivers, the lack of talent that they have. And I do think, Keith, this is going to be an interesting test for the Patriots tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all week. And it goes back to last week. I mean, Mayo said it coming out of week one. We got to get the wide receivers more involved. We got to get Pop Douglas more involved. That was the backdrop going into last week. And they didn't get more involved. They became
less
involved.
Yeah, three catches.
Pop Douglas wasn't targeted.
Nope.
So there's like this squeaky wheel, this squawking within the Patriots wide receiver group. And you have to wonder, are they going to force feed Pop Douglas? Are they going to force feed Jalen Polk? Are they going to force feed these guys in the passing game? when in reality, that's not the way to beat the Jets. You don't throw on the Jets. You don't make plays through the passing game. You run on them. Jordan Mason ran on them. Tony Pollard, to a degree, ran on them last week. No, that's how you attack them.
The Jets allowed 180 on the ground against the Niners and 130 on the ground to the Titans. And you figure the Titans are also playing from behind a little bit, so they may have gone away from the run. But, yeah, I'm with you. They need to run, and that's still the strength. So even though you have a couple wide receivers, you know, pop on the tape Douglas, wanting the ball a little bit more, I don't think Alex Van Pelt's going to give into that. I really don't. Van Pelt's been in the league a long time. I don't think he's going to be like, oh, yeah, we got to get Pop Douglas, a guy with zero career touchdowns. We got to really fire him up. Those guys want the ball, and that's great. They should, but they're not yet good. So I don't think they need to force feed those. That would be playing right into the Jets' hands. That would be a complete miscalculation by Alex Van Pelt and the Patriots' offense. So I don't think they're going to do it. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't say, all right, at some point we do have to get Pop Douglas the ball, right? Not every single possession, not 10 touches or 12 targets.
Right, but
you can't go zero. Like, there is a line somewhere in the middle.
And I think we all agree the way to do it is get him involved in the quick game.
Yeah.
Wide receiver screens.
Well, they handed the ball to Polk last week.
That's another
one. And I didn't like it because Polk, I think, is going to be a good kind of like possession receiver. Obviously made a nice route on the touchdown, but don't hand him the ball. He doesn't seem to be super shifty or like top end speed. Pop Douglas might be able to make a guy miss, and then you at least get him the ball. You know, he didn't have the ball once. Like that is a miss, because we know you can't give Ramondre Stevenson the ball 30 times every single game. I did think there was some promising plays from Antonio Gibson. I mean, the 45-yard run, obviously, but even other than that, so that's another guy you can work in. And Hunter Henry had a huge game, but there is sort of that middle ground. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh, there's now 15 targets to the receivers. Like, no. You know, you don't have to go that extreme, right? This is not a pass-first offense as much as the league, you know, is ripe for pass-first offenses. This isn't one right now. So I'm curious to see if any of their comments or, you know, what's funny, too, is what was reported after Jalen Reagor got cut was that it wasn't just the Instagram story. It was like he was sounding off in the locker room. All right, is that just him? Or are there other guys sounding off in the locker room that we don't know about? And they're not taking to social media, right? Because they're not dumb, but they're saying stuff in the locker room. And maybe that's another reason why he got cut. It's like, all right, we're done with this. You're not doing that. But it's also a message to the rest of the guys. Like, how much are they sounding off that they should be playing?
So who wins the game tonight? How would the Patriots win matched up against the Jets? Do you like their chances? You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. We'll get to misleading. Coming up at 11:45, we'll revisit some Jeremy Swayman reporting on both sides of the coin here from the Greg Hill Show and Scoops Keefe yesterday. So we'll do that over an hour from now. We also have a Friday four-pack on a Thursday leading into Thursday Night Football. Four questions about the Pats and the Jets. That's at 12:20. We also have Keith's Keys
are back. Big success last week. Oh, the Pats did lose the game.
Ow.
Well, the Keys aren't really...
I didn't want you to have to go there, but it's a good point.
0-1 with the Keys.
So that's 1 o'clock we're going to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock. So mark all that down. I think this is interesting for the Patriots tonight because the worst scenario, I think, would be, well, we got to beat the Jets on the ground. We got to run on them. We got to give it to Ramondre. We got to hand off to Gibson. Maybe even give Jamichael Hasty his token carry that he had last week.
Don't give him a carry. That's a waste of a play.
So we got to get the running game going. That's how we're going to beat the Jets, which I agree with. But if you lose the game and you keep running and the offense doesn't target the wide receivers and now you've lost two in a row and guys were already complaining last week and now it's 10 days leading into the Niners and there's a lot of time to talk about it and squawk about it and complain about it, that really could set you up for things going off the rails quickly. So something we're going to talk about a lot today, it is a massive swing game tonight. And that balance with the receiver group, that balance with getting the passing game going a little bit. They don't have to throw for 300 yards tonight. No one expects them to do that. But getting the wide receivers involved, I think, is important tonight. Not that you do it at the expense of the run game, to your point, but a design play here for Pop Douglas, a design play there for Jalen Polk, I think would go a long way.
Well, they still threw the ball 27 times last week. So as much as it is a run-first offense, and this is before some of the comments by some of the receivers, 27 times, right? And I don't think there's going to be 12 targets to Hunter Henry again this week. Like, that would be pretty surprising to me. So there's still opportunity for those other guys to make some plays. And I hope that we at least see that, at least give those guys an opportunity, especially someone like Polk and Pop Douglas. But I'm with you on the swing game, because not only is it the difference between 2-1 and 1-2, but you're all of a sudden, you could be 2-0 in the conference, 1-0 in the division. And I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves for playoffs, but that's not a bad spot to be in. You know, you look around the rest of the league through 3 weeks compared to if you lose back-to-back games, now you're that much further away from when you won. And now you have to go face San Francisco on the road. Yeah, you have a couple extra days, but it's still San Francisco on the road. Now, I guess the silver lining would be all of us Drake May people would say, all right, if you're 1-3,
Jacoby, you got one more start.
Kinda.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree with that.
I know Kern thinks he might just get hurt. Jacoby Brissett might get hurt tonight or might get hurt next Sunday, yeah, and then the decision's out of their hands.
Kern's chiseling out the gravestone yeah, for Jacoby Brissett.
I mean, he has gotten pounded a few times in each of the first two games. So, I mean, the preseason, which he left that game. So, I mean, that's not a crazy prediction by any stretch, but that, I guess, like, I'm not of the, you know, we've had people mention like tanking and all that. I'm not of the mindset to tank in September or October. So I want to see them win as many games as possible. But the flip side being, all right, if they're 1-3 and the offense is still not passing the ball at all. And again, Brissett hasn't even turned it over yet. So just wait till he turns it over and like what kind of talk is going to be coming out then. Maybe we do see Drake May week 5.
So I want to get into that. Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald has an interesting take on if Jacoby Brissett were to get hurt, who would you even put in? Like, how that's a question? I have no idea.
It's not a question at all.
But, it is for Andrew Callahan.
He's going to put in Joe Milton, or do they just run the Wildcat with Antonio Gibson and Stevenson?
He's going to put in Joe Milton, but maybe there's a little cat.
He's
going to
put
as well.
Joe Milton into the game, like a regular season game?
It's the man's take. So I know
that's reckless.
I know we disagree with that. We'll get back into Drake May and how they're handling that. I'll be curious if the on the broadcast tonight,
yeah,
the snaps leak out. Like, did he get 50% of the snaps? Is he still getting 30? Like, I'm curious.
Well, AVP told us 30% is what it's been, and that's what it will be.
That's what it's going to stay.
He said that.
And
so we'll see.
Who did we? Hunter Henry said, "Oh, I've been around tons of quarterbacks like this. Happens all the time." You're like, okay.
Like, well, Van Pelt's been in the league way longer, and he says it's never happened. Like, that's what Van Pelt said. He's like, no.
Never
first
heard
time,
that before.
First time I've ever done this.
Okay.
So is it, it's Michaels and Herb Street, right, tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom of the barrel. It's towards the bottom of the barrel. Because Al Michaels,
okay.
Al Michaels, I look at Al Michaels the way you look at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Michaels has lost it a little bit. I totally agree.
And then Kirk Herbstreit, like, put him on college games.
Well, let me tell you, I thought last week Herbstreit sounded a little, maybe it's because he's done a year in the NFL. I thought Herbstreit sounded a little more up to speed on the NFL than he did last year.
It's just very out of place to me. Oh, yeah. So even if he's up to date, like, I don't like hearing his voice with pro football.
That's the problem.
It's a me thing,
I think.
But I don't love the pairing.
Let me say this about the Patriots.
Yeah.
When you look at the Jets tonight, winnable game. The Niners was one of those games where I said they have no chance. Without Debo and McCaffrey, does that change? Is that a potential competitive game, if not a winnable game?
I mean, it definitely is because of you saw what Minnesota did.
Okay.
And I know early in the season there are some fluky things, but hey, it's still early in the season.
Okay. Miami, no Tua. Winnable game at home?
Skylar Thompson, I mean, I would say got to be winnable.
Houston, to me, feels really good, but their offense has not been off the charts yet.
This past week against Chicago.
Right, and Chicago has a similar setup to the Patriots in that they're winning on defense.
But it also speaks to like how the Patriots have played and how they look more competitive. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to go 5-12.
Right.
Just like they're going to be in more games, probably. Like very few blowouts. Plus, it's the nature of the NFL. Like, even bad teams don't get necessarily worked over every week. You look at the spreads. The spreads are always inside of 10,
yeah,
right? Like almost all the time. So, yeah, but though, I think based on the injuries, I mean, you just saw no T. Higgins, no Kenneth Walker, no McCaffrey, no Debo, no Tua. Like, that's setting up pretty nicely.
Okay. Then you have Jacksonville. Stinks.
They're bad. That's the London game,
yep,
right?
The Jets again. Yeah. Tennessee's been terrible. Chicago looks awful.
Oh, stop it. What do you got?
The Rams are 0-2.
What are you doing right now? Are you got 10-1?
Keith,
he's saying Super Bowl's back on.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just
saying. You just went through like 8 games.
I didn't give him wins in all of them. I'm just saying.
Losses?
What sounded like a daunting schedule?
It has opened up a little
bit. Like, that schedule doesn't look anywhere near as daunting as it did before the year, and we're only 2 weeks in.
But you know what every one of those teams is saying? Ooh, Patriots.
Patriots.
Thank God, Patriots.
Thank God they're here.
Thank God, Patriots.
No, that's probably true. But
yeah.
Like,
no, I get your overall point. I think the spread, so like at the beginning of the year,
you feel way better if they win the game tonight? You look at it and go, huh, like all those other, I feel so much better about all those other games.
If they win the game tonight, I think you got to feel, not only will you feel a little put him in the frisky category come tier Tuesday.
I wanted to last week.
I know you did. So you could maybe think about moving him up to frisky, but then you might also say, man, that Seattle game really porked them.
Nope, that's true.
You know, you're going to look at that and say, God, they should have won that game. They were up in the fourth quarter.
I might have them at 17-0 if they would have won that Seattle game.
You would have just went out.
But, like, the schedule looks way less. All I'll say is the schedule looks way less daunting.
That's fine.
And, you know, that includes the game tonight. I don't think the Jets are that much better than the Patriots. I'm not even sure they're better. 617-779-7937. Who wins tonight? How does it shake out? How would the Patriots win this game against the Jets if you're like me and think they're going to pull it out? Keith has them covering, so we're at least expecting a competitive game tonight.
I was surprised
on
by
Thursday
six.
Night Football.
Yeah. Six and a half,
too
high. Guess, depending on where you're going. Like, I was surprised by that.
Way too high.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We'll get into all of it. And Bill Belichick back to taking shots at the Patriots. We'll do that next.
The same thing in New England and Seattle. New England had 2-3 and outs at the end of the game, one in regulation, one in overtime, and then Seattle drove down for the tying field goal and then drove it 75 yards for the winning field goal in overtime. So that fourth quarter, where that's a combination of conditioning, coaching strategy, figuring out what's going on, whatever the case might be, it's a combination. But that fourth quarter, as you said, stands alone, and you got to be able to play well to close out games in the fourth quarter in this league.
Bill Belichick, surrounded by cronies. That's the Coach Podcast. It was Patricia to his left, Lombardi to his right, something like that. They're all sitting there on set, and he's just ripping into Gerard Mayo and his clock management. And the other two are just sitting there nodding their heads. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right, Bill. You're right, Bill.
Good take.
Yeah. You were so good at managing the clock, Bill.
Never
in these last few years without Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And just brilliant at it. Let's all forget he won four games last year and ran the organization into the ground. Sure. Let's all choose to forget about that, because we're on Bill's payroll and have been for a long time. Literally those two. Mm-hmm. I mean, Patricia carries his backpack around.
That's amazing.
God's sakes. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's a living, right? Yeah. He's that guy from the Flintstones.
They're all just
it's a living.
They're all just waiting for their next gig. If Bill gets one. I don't think stuff like this helps Bill, to be honest. I don't think Bill being petty and lashing out about the Patriots.
No.
I don't think it helps him. I don't know how closely Jerry Jones and Jeff Lurie and, you know, even Woody Johnson, I don't know how closely they're tracking this and paying attention to it, but if they are, I don't think it helps him.
I don't think, honestly, the eight jobs helps him. I think staying involved in football helps him. I get where, you know, whoever told him that or whoever convinced him of it, I get it. It's kind of stay relevant, right? Like, how many years was John Gruden a candidate when he was doing Monday Night Football until ultimately he got back in? There were years. Remember Bill Cowher? For years, he just kept doing the Sunday show on CBS. And they're like, maybe Bill Cowher, maybe Bill Cowher, maybe. And it was like, it's never Bill Cowher. So I think Bill should grab a job. And then you are going to have to be asked about the Patriots. Like, you do need to talk about the Patriots, I think, right? If you're in these spots, they're going to want to hear what you have to say. Remember, we were all floored. Didn't talk about the Cincinnati game. They won the game. It was the biggest dog on the board. They won outright. The first game without Bill in 20-something years, and he doesn't say anything, doesn't talk about the defense, doesn't say anything. And then now they lose the game, and, you know, he's talking about clock management. No, I'm with you. I don't think that specifically is going to help him. What he really needs is for a good team to think that he is going to push them over the top, because for the most part, 95% of the league is thinking, young coach, we want a young coach. Were they a coach before? Don't care. Were they a coordinator before? Don't care. So a guy who has 50 years of football on his resume, they don't care. They're hiring guys that were all born way after Bill was a D coordinator for the Giants, right? Like, that's they're going more young than anything else. But yeah, overall, like, him kind of chirping the pats a little bit doesn't really help.
Okay, and here's my, because I think Bill's right. I think Bill is right to criticize their clock management. We talked about it a ton on Monday. But we also talked about the Patriots the week before and what they did right, and we gave Mayo all this credit.
That's us being consistent.
Yeah,
that's
no, that's 100% what it is. Mm-hmm. And so they won. They looked well coached. They beat a good team on the road in their opener. We gave them credit. They lost at home against a team I think they were on par with, a very winnable game that they blew, and we criticized them for it. Bill's only done the criticism after the loss. He completely tapped out the week before.
Well, two weeks ago...
That's my issue, because Bill's not wrong. That criticism by Bill
fine.
Is right.
It's fine. But yeah, you can't have it both ways. And so when Lombardi, was specifically Lombardi 2 weeks ago, where he brought up the Patriots winning kind of like an ugly game and, you know, playing really good defense and finding a way to beat Cincinnati, and then kind of tossed it to Bill, and he's like, just like Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And you're like, wait, what?
Pivoted right out of
it. Like, how about 10 seconds on Gerard Mayo winning a game? And he's like, nope, Pittsburgh also won ugly.
I can't give the man 10 seconds. And so, look, the same thing we were just talking about, this is...
What does he do when they beat the Jets or lose to the Jets? Because he hates the Jets. I don't think he wants to give the Jets credit for anything, but he'd be happy if they beat the Pats. But if the Pats beat the Jets, does he get any kind of joy out of that, or what does he do?
Well, it's going to be impossible for Bill not to compliment the Patriots if they win, right?
I mean, they were 7.5-point dogs to Cincinnati. But you need to compliment
them. My point, and maybe I didn't elaborate very well. It's a standalone game. It's an island game. Like the whole...
Primetime games, it's the only one they have,
everybody,
and he should talk about
everybody
it.
Right. In football is going to be reacting to the Thursday night game. It's going to be...
Not Bill.
It's going to be unavoidable, right?
He's like, let me tell you a little story about the 1986 Giants. Mark Bavaro lined up on the other side.
Like, so, that'll be a neat trick. If the Patriots win tonight, and the whole football world is reacting to the Patriots winning, they might lose, and he'll go all in, guns blazing on the Patriots. Yeah. So, that's predictable.
Mm-hmm.
What's he going to do if they win? How's Bill going to squirm out of that one? You know he's going to try.
No, I get it. He is as critical as he can be, because I still don't think he's going overboard with the criticism. Lay it on Robert Saleh. Lay it on the Jets. Kind of also open the door to maybe you taking over the Jets at some point.
Focuses on the Jets and how crummy they are.
No matter what happens, Jets lost.
Wow, the Jets have a great roster.
The Pats didn't win. Jets lost.
If they just had a coach.
Definitely.
That's a good point. That's what he'll do. Yep. So that'll be...
Because he'll talk up Aaron Rodgers. Yep. Even if Rodgers throws four picks, he'd be like, well, the guys weren't getting open or whatever. But maybe he takes a shot at Robert Saleh.
So that's how Bill will squirm out of it.
That's my guess.
If they even win, which I think they're going to. And when I look at the schedule, this is bad news for Bill.
Yeah.
There's way more... Well, let's all agree with this. Whether you have
this is bad news for the league, because here come the Pats.
Whether you have the Patriots winning any of these...
Yeah, probably not.
Can't we all acknowledge they're all more winnable than we thought going into the year?
Though they are.
The Jets, the Niners are all banged up. Miami doesn't have their quarterback. Houston, to me, that's still a game they're going to lose.
That one they might get
Although
throttled.
Houston offensively hasn't hit the ground running yet.
Yeah, but by week six, I feel like they might be pretty good.
Their defense looks awesome. Stroud, to me, looks awesome. They had trouble against that Bears defense.
Dude, I'll tell you, though,
Jacksonville's a mess.
Blows.
The Jets a second time. If you already beat them the first time, you're like, okay.
It's a big if.
That one's at home.
Yep.
Tennessee looks awful.
Blows.
Chicago and Caleb Williams look awful.
I don't even know if Will Levis will still be in there by then.
Fair.
How long can they keep playing him?
The Rams are 0-2, and everybody's hurt.
Banged up.
They're the Rambulance. They're the Rambulance, for God's sake.
In the Rambulance. There's two teams in the Rambulance tier that they play.
Miami again, and then Indy. And now you're into the bye week. It's I don't see that.
Cruising.
I don't see that many games they can't win. So, look, they might only steal two of those.
Problem is, if they keep chipping away like a win every other week, doesn't that kind of extend Jacoby Brissett's time?
Well, that's a problem, but it's also it's a bad look for Bill, because Bill's going to have to sit here.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're winning more games than we thought.
So
they're more competitive than we thought.
You are already over 4.5 wins.
I've been saying six from before I even knew the schedule. The second they fired Bill and they traded Mac, I'm like, they're going to win two more games just by getting rid of those two.
I'm still taking the under 4.5. I just think they are going to be more competitive.
Wait, you're back to the under?
I was always on the under.
Oh, no. You were at 3, so you gave him a 4th. That's what you did. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. No, because the total's 4.5, so I gave him an extra win. Although now maybe I give it back to him because I had Cincinnati as a loss and Seattle
as a win.
I'll go 4. Yeah. 1-4. Nice. But still the under.
Nice.
I'm safely in the under. No, I think they're going to be more competitive. And one of our fears, too, just as a entertainment product, were they going to be a fun watch? And I think they're closer to that than not. There was some real fear there watching the preseason.
Oh, that they'd be unwatchable.
This is going to be a tough go every 100%. Sunday. And now you're like, no, I'm looking forward very much to all the games.
100%. A couple of things. Text 37937. Guys, you realize Mayo went behind Bill's back last year, right?
I don't know if that's true.
I think there's something to that.
Wait, he went behind his back? Kraft gave him the job 2 years ago. I don't think he needed to go behind his back.
Well, but it's just he was insubordinate of Bill, maybe maybe behind his back with players, that sort of thing. I don't rule that out.
Well, then really lay into him then.
Why does Bill want to throw flowers at Mayo? He doesn't have to throw flowers.
No, but after week one, it was a pretty impressive win.
Yeah, we all know what's going on. He has an agenda against Mayo. We're just calling out the agenda. He probably does hate Mayo, and he hates the Patriots right now, obviously.
That's fine.
But that's
lean into it.
He's not a real analyst. He's not really analyzing what's in front of him. He has an agenda against the Patriots, which is fine. We all have agendas. But he has a clear one here, and I think he's exposing himself. I also like this in the Twitch chat earlier today. Jones, you're being very positive on the Patriots, which is true. I am being very
that
positive.
What's up? What's the catch?
Well, somebody in there, and it was a while back, but they said, I'm convinced Jones has two personalities, and I don't like either one.
Well, that's well said.
I can see that being true.
It's a fair way of it's at least two personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And liking neither one makes a lot of sense. We'll get into your feedback, 617-779-7937. Again, we'll get to misleading. We'll revisit the Jeremy Swayman reporting here at WEEI. Courtney Cox, Coco Bomb versus Scoops Keefe.
Yeah.
We'll do that at 11:45. We have a four-pack leading up to Pat's Jets. That comes your way at 12:20. We also have Keefe's Keys at 1 o'clock leading up to Patriots and Jets. All your thoughts. Who wins? How does it shake out? The swing game nature of this Thursday night football game tonight in New York, plus scoring down throughout the NFL. A few solutions on how to fix it. Let's get to that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.